Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew 10, verse 34. Why did Jesus come? You know how most people would answer that question at Christmas, at the end of this year full of conflict? Most would say that Jesus came to bring peace. Peace on earth, world peace, the absence of conflict. But what did Jesus say about why he came? Matthew 10:34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. A sword that both fights and divides. Jesus came to be a divider of men. Wow, he actually said that. Wasn't Jesus born the Prince of Peace? Isaiah 9. At his birth, Luke 2:14, wasn't there suddenly a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Wasn't peace the angel's promise? Well, but that's not the meaning of the Greek in Luke 2:14. Here's the ESV rendering. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. God's goodwill towards his people. Jesus came not to bring peace in this age amongst rebellious men, not peace on earth just yet. He came to bring peace to those with whom he is pleased, to those who can say with Paul in Romans 5, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to take wretched sinners who were the enemies of God, who were under the righteous wrath of God, and create for us at the cross, peace with God. Our sins punished, our warfare ended. But a world at war with its creator cannot enjoy peace with its creator. Genesis 1, the Lord God made the heavens and the earth. He created the cosmos with perfect order. He made both darkness and light, both sun and moon, both land and sea, both plants and beasts. And then in the garden, he created both man and woman to take dominion, to rule righteously over his perfect creation, a well-ordered household in peaceful relationship. But into the midst of God's peaceful order, Genesis 3, Satan appeared and what? He sowed disorder, sin and death. He sowed rebellion and conflict and brokenness. Warfare between the man and the woman, between men and God, between brother and brother. Warfare all throughout this present evil age between those who would hate God and those who would be called to love God. So in Genesis 3:15, the Lord said to that serpent of old, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Seed conflict. The seed of Satan from Cain on, perpetually and painfully at war with the promised seed of the woman, ultimately Jesus Christ, who came to our broken world not to go along and get along, not to proclaim a better, more progressive way of living, not to bring peace, not just yet, but rather to mightily reclaim his rightful kingdom. Woe to us, Jeremiah 6, who say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. We can make an idol out of false peace, external, secular peace, our own safety and security. Hey, as American Christians, we can think peace is our birthright. I was born in California in 1956. It wasn't perfect, but it was a different world than we live in today. There was order. There was rule of law, free and fair elections. There was liberty without an excess of license and immorality. There was marriage between man and woman, no confusion about gender, no confusion about fathers and their place in the household. There was respect for the church. There was reverence for life. And there was outward peace and prosperity. But of course, the seeds of the ruin of America were already sown in the hearts of men. That ancient warfare, that seed conflict, that cosmic rebellion against God's order, God's peace. And so Jesus came to bring his sword, to wage and to win this war that's been waged against him. How? Well, not with a literal sword, but by calling sinners to himself, by drawing us back in love under his righteous headship. This is why he took up human flesh. This is why he gave up his life. But he doesn't fight alone. He calls us fully to engage in this conflict alongside him, to not love our lives more than we love our Lord. That's what Matthew 10 is all about. Turn back to verse 5. Follow along, please. First, he called disciples to himself, the chosen, Matthew 10, 5. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. He tells them, drive back the darkness, the disorder, the chaos. Skip to verse 16. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. Risky gospel preaching. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Father, the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. And here's the seed conflict, verse 21. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. These are marching orders, brethren. It's not supposed to be safe out there. Verse 24. A disciple is not above his teacher, he means in suffering, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? Verse 28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him, the Lord, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Finally, back at verse 34, this time in context. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Shall we love our fading secular false peace? And shall we love our own safety at any cost? Shall we love our own lives, or shall we take up our own cross? If 2020 has taught us anything, it's this, that there is no peace. That our adversary, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion. That we're engaged in a very real spiritual warfare. So 1 Peter 1, gird up the loins of your mind. Thank you for coming, Lord Jesus, with your mighty sword. May you find us faithful until you come again.